1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in his season. And I said, by using the word bring forth his fruit, that's a sign of growth. We said Jesus himself said in John 15, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, you are the branches. Every branch that abides in me shall bring forth fruit. And then in verse 8, this branch shall know that you are my disciples when you bear fruit. So we said, fruit bearing is a symbol of spiritual growth. And I know that there's a tendency that teachings like this can come off as boring and come off as, come on, just talk to us about something else. But this is a very core part of your Christianity that if we let it go, we can be in trouble. Are you listening to me? And so, you must see that way. So we said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he will bear fruit. And we said, what comes before growth? We said, the reason why we are talking about growth is because you are alive. Alright? So you can talk about growth. And we said, does God expect us to grow? Yes, it's low. Does God expect you and I to grow? Very well, yes. God expects us to grow the same way you expect your children to grow, the same way you expect, in fact, your business. Everything you put your hands on, you expect it to grow. If it's not growing, you say that business is not working. So it's dead. I'm someone who tests and experiments with businesses a lot. And I know when something is not working. It's not a big deal. Some of us are like that. You know, you just test and just see, is it going to work? If it's not working, you quickly close it. Don't spend too much money. Of course, that's from experience. You know, don't spend too much money, quickly close it, open another one. Of course, you already have one business. You know that you don't have anything in life. You are now testing about. That would be very disastrous, you know. But when something is not growing, it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. And I said, was it last week? I said, babies are cute, right? Babies are cute, but growth is needed. You don't want to have a baby for 14 years and it's the same baby. So he has always been a baby boy all his life. That's dangerous. I said, when there is no growth, then there is either a disease or there is death. And so, the same way spiritually, if you say a man is growing, then it means that he is healthy and alive. And we said, because we are in Christ Jesus, we said, we are alive. We started that one, right? We said, every man in Christ has eternal life. Say, I've got eternal life. Yes, every man in Christ has eternal life. And I said, when you understand, and I hope to God that at least a majority of us already understand when I taught it from last week, how that I said very well, and I'm going to say it again, the believer has no need to worry about death. The truth is, physical death is overrated. It's not going to be forever. What God's word teaches us is that there is life after death. And this is one of the signs of your growth. A believer must not be scared of it. I know we live in a world where we're a bit conservative and all of that. They say, Pastor, don't talk about that one. No. But really, there's nothing to be scared about in death. In living or in dying, we are Christ's. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 13, he says, we do not mourn as those who do not have hope. That scripture made sense to me 13 years ago. We do not mourn like those who don't have hope. There is hope in Christ. Are you listening to me? Fine, when a loved one passes on and all of that, it can be painful, it can be heart-wrenching, it can be sad, and which is rightfully so. You're going to miss them. But we have life in Christ. And we already looked at quite a number of scriptures, right? Even from the prophets, right? The grave has no power over what God has done. Paul says, if there is no life after death, we have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15. We have believed in vain. We have not believed anything. And so as sad as it can be, the believer is alive forever. Jesus told Martha and Mary in John 11, he said, if a man believes in me, he will never die. He said, if he dies, he will live. And what does that tell you? He tells you that there might be two kinds of death. And I said, the real death will be what? Separation from God eternally. When a man does not have the life of God in him, that is the real death. And if you were around for the teaching meeting yesterday, I think we touched that a bit, right? That death, that curse of God, right? Remember? Because that's the real death. Look at what John said in 1 John 5. So we must first realize that the believer is alive. I believe the church should strengthen this message. One of the things it does for us is that it puts things in proper perspective. How can you as a believer, everything that matters to you is in this world. Are you going to buy the next car? Are you going to get the next degree? And you're going to have a family? You know, all of those things are nice. I'm telling you, they are very nice. You're going to build the next family, and you're going to build your house, and you're going to, what else? You're going to go for vacation? You like that one? You don't want to see it. You're sending that thing at you. And you're going to do all of that, and all of that, and all of this, and all of these nice things. And that's all you have in mind. You know, something is that death changes all of that. Physical death changes all of that in a second. And like a story of a man who used to sweep church and everything. I just said this one last week. He used to arrange everywhere. He was in every department and all of that. And suddenly he got a job. And it was a very nice job and all of that. And he stopped. And now the pastor cannot reach him. Nobody can reach him. He comes to church anytime he likes. He comes late and all of that. And after a few months, I mean, it was the pastor that was telling me. The pastor. So after a few months, they started seeing him back in church. So the pastor went to ask, did brother Akinyi lose his job? He said, no, he did not lose his job. Apparently, he was now sick. And he now remembers that there's Jesus. Because he wasn't feeling too good. And that shows you the fickleness of riches. It was a sickness his money could not take care of. He had the money, he had everything, but money cannot do anything. And so he went back to it. So that means all this while you had time. It wasn't just important. All this while you could preach. It wasn't just important. All this while you could pray. You could be sleeping. When they had asked you before, you said, work and all. And then, of course, he was healed. That's why the pastor was telling me. Eventually he was healed. And he continued, amen. He has learned his lesson. It's not God that taught him. He just learned his lesson. Amen. And that shows you the fickleness of this world. In a blink of an eye, the things that are important to you can change. But listen very well. The believer must never live in the fear of death. Like ye. Paul says, to live is for Christ. If I die, it is gain. I mean, that shows perfect understanding of the work of redemption. Every other thing is for that life. Every other thing you're doing is for that life. There will be a day to come that there will be no longer death. 1 John 5. Look at how John said it. You read it almost every service, yeah? In verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. That we have, if we ask of anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we will receive petitions that we desire of him. If any man sees brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say you shall pray for it. Amen. So look at what John just said. Said there is a sin that is not unto death. There is a sin that is unto death. And you're wondering, what's this talking about? He's not talking about HIV. There is a sin that is unto death. That would be unbelief in the gospel. That one will lead to death. And so, the real death is not the one where a man stops breathing. Mm-mm. The real death is when a man does not have the life of God. And so, we can boldly say the believer is alive. Say, I'm alive. Come on, say, I'm alive. You believe that? Yeah. We are alive. We are alive. The Spirit of God indwells us. We are alive. And because we are alive, what does that mean? We can grow. We said one of the characteristics of living things is what? Growth. 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 And as we have growth in the natural, we also have it in the spiritual. That means we can have a man who is growing spiritually and we can have a man who is not. Let me tell you, someone can be attending church and he has been attending church for 20 years and he's a spiritual baby. I mean, spiritually, he's still talking on his thumb. How are you? Spiritually. And someone can be 17-year-old and spiritually, he's mature. So, growth is not with age. I said something last week. I said, age is automatic. You don't have to do anything to be 1 year older, right? When is your birthday, Ife? 6th of June. It's just 6th of June, yeah? Bro, okay, you know, bro, let's leave it for later. Don't worry. You understand? Amen. Bro, where is it, 6th of June? Hallelujah. You know, by 6th of June, you're a year older. Whether you like it or not. You can say, I don't want. Like some ladies now, most ladies, they want to be 21 forever. Or 16. No, it's not 16. 16 is underage. Not 21. Always in town. I don't want a woman like that. One wedding. My sister's wedding. And I know her. I know her when I was young. I'm still young. When I was very, very young. I didn't know anything. Mommy. I call her mommy. Where is your grandma? You are doing, you are getting old. Say, 16. You are looking like that. I said, 16 a meal. When she said, 16. When you did 16 was in 1990s. 1980. You are doing 16. Put out because sometimes you don't want to grow older. Someone said, ladies want to feel younger. Men want to feel older. Is that true? I don't think so. I want to be like this forever, if I can. I don't think so. I don't want to feel old at all. Let me just be like this. All of you can be growing old. They say, Pastor is not growing old. Wouldn't you like that? You know, and, you know, and when you are 70, you just look at me like this. But I know Pastor. Then you go to camp meeting picture, 2020. And you are already in 2050. So, alone. Abi is a vampire. And so, even if you don't want to grow naturally, age is automatic. You will grow. But you see, growth is deliberate. Spiritual growth is deliberate. You've got to do something. Something has to be done. It will cost you something. And we said, God expects us to grow because we are alive in Him. So once we start looking at the decisions and the adventures in spiritual growth. Adventures in spiritual growth. When I'm growing spiritually, what are the things that will happen? And how will I know? When those things happen, listen very well, how would I know that, oh, now I'm growing spiritually? Because the truth is, the same event faces all of us. But because of growth, you begin to approach those events in different ways. So, adventures in spiritual growth. We still go back to Psalm 1, but not now. So, we said spiritual growth will be seen in adventures. If there are no tests, listen very well. If there are no tests, you cannot differentiate the coward from the courageous. I know some people don't like tests. Some say, why can't lecturers just trust us? You have taught me. You ask me, do I understand? I say, I understand. Which one is now test again? I already said I understand. Don't you trust me? That's trust issues. You said, do I understand? I said, I understand. I said, you thought well, sir. Then you said, here, sheet of paper. For what? But if there are no tests, then we can't know true growth. Jesus said, there's a man that plants, he puts his house on a sand. When the wind comes, it will blow it off because it doesn't have depth.
Why do, how do we know that he doesn't have debt? The wind came.
Are you listening to me?
Or else, we'll have just been looking at the house and say, oh, come on, what a beautiful house. What a beautiful house.
Have you seen those houses on the island before?
Fine house. Small rain.
Everything dismantled. If you want to rent a house in Lagos, I'm just giving you this one as bonus in the teaching. Rent it during the rainy season.
Amen.
I got one house one time. It doesn't rain, it pours. Every time it rains, I don't go to work. At the point I was praying, it just rained. There's no point. Because the water will get above your knee. What's the point? Nobody told me to leave.
He says, another plants his house on the rock. When the wind came, it stood. So, the wind is the test. And so, we need to know, what are the things that show that I am growing spiritually? What are the things that I will start seeing, and then I'll know, oh, I think I'm doing better now. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Let's look at that Psalm 1 again. Which I already gave you a summary last week. He says, blessed is the man that walks not. And we said we have three negatives there. He will walk not. He will stand not. He will sit not. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And you look at that word counsel. In the Hebrew, it means something that gives you direction. Say, blessed is the man who does not take direction from the ungodly. I've told you before, listen very well and listen good to this one. Sometimes a good advice might not be a godly advice. It doesn't mean that it's not a good advice. I remember some years ago, someone came to me and told me, he said, in his own words, he said, you are too talented and brilliant. I don't think so, actually. Because I've seen very, very intelligent people. So I really don't think, but I thank God, right? So you know, I'm ungrateful. He said, you're too brilliant to just waste your life on this Jesus thing. That's what he said. He said, do something. I said, I'm working. I have plans to start up businesses. I have plans to do this. I have plans to, you know, at the point I was even planning to set up a business in another country. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You can serve God without all this pastor thing. So you will do choir. You will be in choir. You will do this one. You even have money to give to the church. Thank you for the advice, man. I appreciate it. It's a good one. Amen. Is it godly? Nah, I don't think so. Just like Eliab. I want to give him the benefit of doubt. David came to battle. He brought food. Abi? Come on, is that not what David brought? Brought food for his brothers. If you see your last born in a place where the king himself is hiding, the king is who God has anointed to fight for Israel. And the king is somewhere hiding. Every soldier is hiding. Some people have even removed their uniform. In case Goliath, they go and peace and they meet Goliath there. You just say, me, soldier of Israel, me, I'm a farmer. Then you see your last born. And you see him talking to soldiers and he's asking, who is that Goliath? What will you say? Go home. Is that not it? Come on. If you are going to say go, let me see your hands. Okay. If you are going to say go and fight, yes, God is with you. Let me see your hands. Nobody, none of you. Because it is the best advice that you're a young man. Go and go back. Saul told him, he said, you are a small child. This guy has been fighting since. Good advice. Is he godly? Because God anointed David to war and he didn't lose one. So that something is a good advice does not necessarily mean it's going to be godly. Are you listening to me this morning? Eh? Jesus told his disciples, he said, I will die, and after 3 days I will raise up from the dead. Peter says, I rebuke that. Jesus, word of faith. You are the one that said we should be confessing rightly. How will you be saying you will die? You will die. Say after me. In my name, I will not die. Jesus said, shut up. Shut up. Satan is the one talking through you. So what does that mean? Wait, is it good what Peter said? Is it a good thing? Imagine if your friend says he's going to die. Are you not going to say, come on, Abba. Don't. You are still giving me money.
I remember in campus. One guy, he said he wanted to drink Sniper. I don't know if you guys were already on campus, Tosin. But he wanted to drink Sniper.
My roommate, Ed, and the first thing he said, eh? He's owing me money. And he was sleeping and was running to the floor. I said, Jesus, Frank, he's owing you money. They said someone wants to commit suicide. He said, I don't know. I don't know him from anywhere. Is it not this place that we met? But he borrowed money. He didn't buy it today. He knew he was going to die, you know. Hallelujah. So, good counsel, godly counsel, not really the same. But a good, godly counsel is always good. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Alright, so, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So that means in spiritual growth, you are going to see a kind of walk. A man is going to conduct himself in a particular light. You are going to see a kind of walk. If the way you treat life, listen very well, has not changed over the years, you are not growing. There must be something that changed. There must be a way that you act that is now different. A way that you think that is now different. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That means, of course, the scornful will be those who scorn the word. And that is, he's blessed. Because if he scorns the word, he's cursed. Remember our teaching yesterday? If he scorns the word, he's cursed. Blessed is the one who doesn't scorn the word. You are a Christian. You are walking with people who treat God's word as, don't say Bible, let's put the Bible aside. And that's your friend. Your friend always put the Bible aside. He has never put the Bible in front. Bible aside. Okay, bring that Bible aside back. Amen. How else do you want to live? You want to live with the Bible aside. Don't sit in the seat of scum. We're going to get there. But I said something. Your walk must change. I'm not saying that you start to catwalk. No, there's an emoji walk. Let me show you. When I was younger, this is the way emojis work. The Bible under the armpit like this. Your neck must bend. And at the point I started walking like that. When I realized that my posture was in, my mom used slap to reset it. I said, you nonsense won't hear. You know, the funny thing is that when you see Bro Egan and Copeland and Reverend Copeland on TV, you don't know that they are old. So the men of God I was seeing, they were old. That's why they had that senile posture. Me, I don't know. I was a very young man, I was doing like this. You'll have seen me preach like this. And they say he was born like that. He wasn't born like that. Alright, so there's a walk. And you will see how Paul explains it. In 7 Corinthians 6, you with me this morning? So we are looking at adventures in spiritual growth. The things that will come your way as you grow spiritually. Why are we looking at this? So that when they come, you will know that it's a fruit of spiritual growth. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, we then, as watchers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. Are you there? And in the day of salvation, I have succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that in ministry be not blamed. And in all things, can we verse 4 and 5 together? Are proving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in strifes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Amen. In all of these things, we now approve ourselves. In all of these things, we approve ourselves. The word sunistao, S-U-N-I-S-T-A-O, S-U-N-I-S-T-A-O. We stand, that's what it means. We commend ourselves as ministers of God. It's about to show you the things that will happen as you devote yourself to God. As you say, here I am. Remember that song? Here I am. I'm only available. As for me, I will serve the... Alright, so as you say, yeah, I am Lord, there are things that we will now start to see. He says, in much patience.
Say patience. That's not everybody. Say patience.
So, what are the things I will start to exhibit in my journey of spiritual growth? Patience. This is how we'll stand as the ministers of God. In much patience. Which is to endure. Patience is not passive waiting. Mm-mm. It is active endurance. What I say? Patience is not passive waiting. It is what? Active endurance. In much patience. Hupomone in the Greek. Hupomone. Let me say this. Sometimes this is the most remarkable trait a man picks up in spiritual growth. I'll say it again. Sometimes this is the most remarkable trait a man can pick up in spiritual growth. Patience. As you grow, you begin to pick up endurance. Why did he say patience? Because he's about to say, in much afflictions, in necessities, and in distress. Those three things will require your patience. Ask someone beside you, are you patient? Ask. Are you patient? What did the person say? Are you sure? Is it to say yes? You know, yes is the easiest thing to say. One monosyllabic. Yes. But how do we know your patience? In much afflictions, in much necessities, in distress. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we are still coming back to 2 Corinthians. I just want to show you something. In verse 4, whereby he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Can we verse 6 together? 2 Peter 1, 6. So what were you reading before? I've caught you now. What were you reading before? And you are writing. What were you writing? Can we verse 6 together? And to your knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, and to patience. It says, add to your temperance patience. So patience is one of the marks of spiritual growth. In your adventures of growth, you will have to be patient. Don't forget we said, the clearest analogy of growth will be what? The seed bringing forth fruits. Right? Because fruitfulness shows growth. And there is no seed. Sorry, is any agriculturist here? Anyone? Whether by study or by practice. No farmers. That's the problem we have in this country now. You people don't farm again. And me too. But you know me, I'm preaching. Is there a seed that grows the next day? I don't think so. Even the one you used to do in primary school, that beans. They say, the beans, you now put inside. How many of you did that one? Yeah, they proved that you not go to good school. That's all of us. It's fine. You think it means you went to good school? Rather, I know this. You will do it. In fact, we did a lot. We did tomatoes. We did... Well, it's good, sir. There's no seed that grows the next day. Fruitfulness requires patience. So, in the adventures of growth, we will learn patience. Look at your patience meter. How much do you wait? And what do you do in the waiting? He says, this is how we approve ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience. If we become impatient, listen very well. If we become impatient, we derail our growth again. Let me say this to one. There is no middle ground in growth. I said this how many years ago? How many years ago was this, Shola? 2018 or 17. So that's 6 years ago. There is no middle ground. Have you heard of people say before that, I know I'm not growing spiritually, but I'm not going back. I'm just there in one spot. There's only like one spot. Uncle, auntie, you are going back. It's either you are growing in grace or you are falling from steadfastness. 2 Peter 3, 17 to 18. It's either you are growing in grace or you are falling from steadfastness. There's no middle ground. There's no stagnancy. And what I'm about to tell you is that the moment you become impatient, you fall from steadfastness. You don't just, it's not that you are not just growing. Mm-mm. You are going back. A story that comes to mind is the story of Abraham. Abraham. So, this man is looking for a child. What do you call it now? The fruit of the womb. I'm not going to say anything. The fruit of the womb. Okay? You know, that has to do with the resurrection. Well, not today. Before you say, he has started again. And God told Abraham, you know what? I'm going to give you a son. Because he was crying. He said, is it this boy, Eliezer, my servant, that will inherit me? I don't have a son. And God said, no, you have a son. No, this is not Eliezer that will be your heir. There's a seed to come. And year after year and after year. Then God gave him the word. Then 10 years after, nothing has happened. Then Sarah said, Daddy, you are, I have a very fine girl that is my servant. And she's respectful. Say, one thing I like about her. If there's nothing like, one thing I like about her is that she's humble. Until Agar, when Agar conceived, she despised Sarah. Have you? This one. And you know the way ladies can be. Amen. I'm not saying anything. Hallelujah. But if a lady despises you, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And that's why they always tell ladies, the closest person to be is your husband's sister. Those are the powerhouse. Or your husband's mother. But sister. Especially if it's an elder sister. I'm just giving you tips. So, lest you say you don't learn anything in church. Or just in Sunday style. Don't have them be looking for sister about you. Because if a lady finds you, so, Sarah told Abraham, please, just have a child with my servant, my maid. Abraham said, lie. It's not going to happen. I am a man of God. I am a man of God. I'm a prophet. Have you heard of first mention? I'm the first mention of a prophet. I cannot do that. Then Agar came, brought food. Abraham said, He said, our father Abraham says, remove father. Call me Abby. Call me Abby. Yeah, he's heavy, my man. I'm a young man like you. Before you know it, Agar is pregnant. And God rebuked Abraham for it. So what have you done? Impatience. Eventually, the child of that woman, Agar, was the enemy of Isaac. Persecuted Isaac. Chase Isaac, if not for God's help. And that's what impatience can do to you. Are you saying this morning? So, impatience doesn't just derail your growth or stop your growth. No, it takes you back. I'm still explaining. I'll give you practical examples. In 1 Samuel 13, 1 Samuel, you learn something? I think you song, they have something on patience. There's a song on Sequoia. The seed to Sequoia. Please get the lyrics for me. Thank you. Very soon. 1 Samuel 13. Some of you don't listen to good songs. It's the one that they are half naked that you are watching. I'm a believer. And I say, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. If you know my mind, what's your mind? Shut up. You don't have any mind. If you have a mind that is reasoning well enough, that's not what you'll be watching. 1 Samuel 13. The background is that Samuel told Saul, the Philistines are coming, but you know what, we are going to make a sacrifice, of course, so that God can help us. You already know that from the prophet. And Samuel said, wait for me. I am the one that will make the sacrifice. Verse 8. Let's have verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he stayed 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Are you reading your Bibles? But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring the burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the burnt offering, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication to the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. Verse 13. And Samuel said unto Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, you would have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. Amen. See what impatience can do. He said, your kingdom would have been forever. But now, it's taken from you. So, in the adventures of growth, how do you know a man is growing spiritually? You will see it in much patience. Are you there? In patience. Go back to that 2 Corinthians 6 where we're coming from. Are you learning something? In patience, in afflictions, in necessities and disease. I want you to put those ones together. Afflictions means in tribulations. In fact, some version will have that in persecutions. You have to be patient. So that means listen very well. Look up. In the adventures of spiritual growth, there will be persecutions. I always say this very well. If nobody has opposed you before, I don't know if you are serving Jesus. There will be an opposition. Why? Because the world, darkness will always go against light. If there is no darkness opposing, check what you are carrying. It might be darkness. Paul says, a man of God, a minister of God, is approved. He stands in the place of tribulations. But he must be patient in it. Tribulations. Sometimes it is from known quarters. For example, when I first started my journey in spiritual growth, I remember my dad was against it. He just puts that pressure. We. And I understand him, sha. He felt all this short thing. You can start failing exams because there were stories of people who focused on spiritual things. You must have heard that before. Campus pastors, right? Tosin, right? Yeah, I know that one very well. The fellowship pastors on campus. You know, there was even this brother in UI. In their College of Health Sciences, College of Health Sciences, Medicine. Okay, it's different. I call it College of Health Sciences. College of Medicine, it was a pastor of a particular fellowship. I know him. He failed his first exam, failed the second one, another. And I understand. I understand. This is good for the generator. I understand. And so my dad was very concerned about that. And, you know, he said, no! And I felt, God, why this persecution? Now, just for the record's sake, how many of you have had oppositions from home before concerning ministry? Raise it well now. Okay. Good. You are lucky if you have not. You've always supported you. I chop Koboko because of Jesus. And sometimes I always remind God, you know the things that have transpired in this our adventure. I don't chop things. Wire. And what my dad does is that you have to go and take your bath. You have your bath, then he will be waiting for you at the door of the bedroom. What kind of wickedness is that? So sometimes you can spend 30 minutes in the bedroom. Just praying to God. Then there I was praying to God. Numb my pain. I don't want to feel pain. Take it away. Thank God you don't answer it. Hallelujah. That's a very bad place to be. Things will be happening in your body and you don't know. Just take away pain. Take away pain. I don't want to feel it. I came out like this. I said, yay. In much afflictions. Sometimes it's not from prayer. Sometimes it can be on outreach. I've seen people paint my name in a very, very bad light before. It is part of the gospel. Someone said, I'm a wicked person. That I don't allow people to progress in life. I don't understand. Imagine, that I don't want people to progress. How can you say that? Me? When I heard it, the person came to tell me, I said, are you sure? Then another person told me, I said, what? Am I like that? He said, no. And that was the news everywhere. But chin up. Hallelujah. It's part of ministry. In the adventures of spiritual growth, you're going to have afflictions. Afflictions. Times when you are opposed. Times when no one wants to hear you. Times when nobody cares about you. Afflictions. See afflictions. Are you sleeping? See afflictions. Afflictions. It's part of spiritual growth. Now, affliction itself is not the growth.
is your response to it. So, in my adventures in spiritual growth, I must look at my response to afflictions. Some believers, small persecution, you're already thinking of giving up. They've not even persecuted you, finish. Small slander. They don't just say, that pastor is gay. Whatever he makes you say that. Whatever makes you sleep at night. This one is anti-marriage. Don't even say I was anti-marriage. and it's a wrong doctrine. That Paul has spoken about this. That men forbidding men to marry. I forbid your papa. Anna, ask your father. Did I forbid him? No. And before a small affliction. You're already thinking, I'll just quit. I'll just take a break. The higher you go, the more the opposition. And if you fear opposition, like Bishop Oyedepo said, you will lose your position. You fear opposition, you lose your position. That's a good rhyme, but very wise thing. The higher you go, the more opposition. Let me give you a very kind of example. Arsenal. I know you don't want to hear it, especially for the Red Devils. I will to God today the devil under my feet by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will to God, I beseech the Lord Almighty, give me the gate of my enemies. Alright, if you don't understand what I just said, don't worry. But, recently I just discovered that a lot of people were just talking about Arsenal. And someone wrote it on Twitter, one of my people on my timeline, I can't call him friends. And he said, why is everybody now talking against Arsenal now? I said, the higher you go, people start talking about you more. It is normal. Oppositions will now start coming for you. Nobody afflicts the lowly. Have you heard of where they assassinated a poor man before? I'm not saying murder. I'm not saying I am robbery. They sent assassins to a poor man. It doesn't happen. What did he do? What will he give them? But how many cases of assassination of presidents do you want to hear? Because he is there. Are you there? So I don't know why a pastor will be having entourage. Olga, if you are also there, and you are the general overseer of Redeemed Christian Church of God, if they burn you where, don't use entourage. You will know that afflictions are real. First hand. I'm not saying that you cannot get to a point where he's not. I've seen some people carrying a pastor before. His leg must not touch ground. Why? Put something. One thing. You two, you step on it. And they are carrying you on shoulder. M.O.G. Now, where affliction go meet you with that? On that stuff that they are carrying you. But you can't have such a big church, as it were. Such a big organization where people are that much. And you think everybody that comes to that redemption camp is a believer in Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, baptized of the Spirit. Because you are there, you'll be targeted. So the more you grow, and I'm talking to you in the spiritual life now, the more you grow spiritually, expect more opposition. But what must be your response? Be patient in tribulation. So in the adventures of growth, we will have to be patient in tribulation. Say patient in tribulation. So it says, a man of God is approved in much patience in afflictions. So the next time something comes and it shakes your feet, you must look at it. This determines if I'm growing spiritually. Like the house that was built on the sand and the one that was built on a solid ground. Does that make sense? The next time someone slanders you, the next time someone comes outrightly, someone has come outright to them before that I will die. I've said it before. He's giving me 7 days that I will die. Of course, that's many years ago now. Amen. He's giving me more than 7 years. In case you want to say, be 7 years. More than 7 years. Maybe 7 decades. That'd be nice. You have 70 to what I have. I'm okay. Hallelujah. You're not okay. Some people say, me, I want to get like 200. Kilo what? Pause it to die again. You don't want that again. Because of ice cream, you don't want to leave this world. I met someone that said before, Pastor, you said there's no food in heaven. I said, there's no food. How? What kind of believer is that one? How? How are we going to survive? Survive! There's no survivor.
Are you sure you are growing spiritually? We are going to get it there. In much fasting. Hallelujah. So how are we going to survive? Could it be bread? So you begin to look at your response in affliction. Your response in affliction shows whether you are growing spiritually or not. So in the adventures of spiritual growth, our response towards opposition, response towards affliction, response towards tribulation, response towards slander, towards betrayal, shows if we are growing or not. But I pray for you that your response is perfect, that you are patient, that you are proven as a minister of God. Hallelujah. Then it says, in necessities. Some versions will have it as, in needs, in wanting, in lack. Another thing that shows whether you are growing or not is lack. When you don't have what you need. So that the love of money is the root of evil. That's why rich people don't make it. Oh God, even the poor man has the love of money. It's not about being rich. Money just exposes you. Money doesn't change anybody. In necessities. When you don't have what you're looking for, how do you react? When you don't have, let me start from the lower cadres of life. You find some people, they're looking for admission, which I believe is not a big deal. Because someone might not go to university and is still going to have a good life. Let's just leave that one there. But because of admission, you see a man throw away everything about God. I don't want. So, marriage. Oh, I've been looking for a husband. A husband is looking for you. See, every bubble that comes my way, before you know it now, you just say they are not doing it again. Yeah, you two don't do it again now. Pastor, I'm getting old. Who told you that? I know it. Okay. I beg you. So what should we do now? But Jesus is the husband of the church. So, that was the general husband. Like general market. I want my own sweetheart. Calm down. If necessities, Paul calls it necessity, that means it's actually needed. And if you feel that having a husband is needed, it's absolutely correct. It's absolutely correct. Or having a wife, absolutely correct. It's a necessity. Money is a necessity, right? Or what do you think we put inside the generator for us to have service this morning? You think we gather to speak in tongues? Oh, you think when you hear tongues and people are praying in tongues, it's the generator they are praying on? God give us power. There is power mighty in the tank. No. You will use money to buy it. Amen. So money is a necessity. I always say it. Don't form. The reason why all of us are working is because of money. Nobody's working for any love. You don't love anything. One guy, when I was in my house job, he said, no, I love patients. I love giving helping lives. I said, okay. Let them owe you salary. That's when you know. When they owe you 7 months salary, you will know if you love patients. I can guarantee you don't love them. You will join the strike. I said, actually, if you acquire it. In necessities. So it's a necessity to have money. I'm not saying to blow bow. I'm not saying to be 30 under 30, or 40 under 40, or 50 under 50, or 12 under 12. I'm saying to afford your necessities. Some people don't understand the difference between needs and wants. Say, God meets our needs. But I don't have money to buy DSTV plan. DSTV plan. That's not a need. Amen. And your needs are met. Needs. you know that's not a prayer. Your needs. The need is not a car. The need is you get to where you are going to. Amen. That's transport fare. So say, I will change that prayer. My wants are met. Hallelujah. In needs. When something is needed, does it affect the way you serve God? If it does, I mean, it affects it in a negative, has a negative impact, then you know if you're growing spiritually. So growth is seen when we have needs. Like I said, every need is not money. To some, it's that emotional, the part of their lives, that relationships and marriage and all that, which is also a need. Amen. To some, it's their education. It's a need. But in those necessities, Paul says, you will see the minister of God. You will see the minister of God in those necessities. So again, you can grade yourself. You can start to mark yourself.
Amen.
You can put a chart and say, impatience. If I'm going to score myself over 10, am I going to get 2? In necessities, what is my reaction? When prayers are not answered, in inverted commas, what is your reaction? When you're looking for a child, what is your reaction? I've been praying to God for a baby. Now it's 10 years. Now it's 14 years. I'll pray along with you. But is it impacting your devotion to God? If it is, as emotional as I want to be, you're not growing spiritually. I want to be emotional and say, I understand your state and everything, but I don't think God understands that much. Amen. Because at the end of the day, whether you have a child or not, in heaven, it doesn't matter. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, I love the fact that we are saved by grace and not by works. I don't want to sit in heaven and someone is telling me how they got there. Actually, I had to preach to, and I live this life. I just smoke all through my life. I don't want to hear how they got there. Nobody will call you daddy in heaven. See, my mom. That's my mom over there. Nobody. You won't even know. You. It's another sister in Christ. Amen. That's my sweetheart. Towards the beautiful gate. Say, babe. Lauren. In necessities. You see. Sin needs. As what they are needs and they are temporal. Your need when you are in GSS1 is different from now. Yes or yes? I mean, when you are in GSS1, you are already looking for husband. Some of you were already. I remember there was one lady that was calling me the husband. As a GSS2. She's married now with 4 kids. And I'm her husband too. She gave me one water bottle. Her name is Ife. She gave me one water bottle. She's in Abuja now. My love, she boy from home. Amy, spiritual Jagavan. I just grew up with you. I don't talk to ladies. Fire in the name of Jesus. I want to keep it. I said, if you turn to serpents, that was this mommy water people. I watch too much Monzion, don't mind me. Mommy water. And the guys always call me, she brings food. She go to the talk shop, bring buns for me. I eat the buns. It's body now. I'm hungry. In necessities. I eat the buns. I take the Pepsi and everything. So I don't think my need at that time was husband or wife. Hallelujah. I believe Dora, that was your need in GSS 2. The daddy and mom in GSS 3. GSS 3, someone lady gave me one Valentine's gift. To show her that I was spiritual, I broke it in front of her. Bah. Very, very unreasonable thing to do. Is now I know. At that time, my friends were ailing me. We are spiritual brothers. Our brothers are always here. I broke it. She was crying. I said, aha. Lagarosa. The guy don't forgive me. He don't forgive me. 3 years later when we met. That was way after secondary school. She said, we were just met. Ha! I didn't see you. I've forgotten what you did. I said, I'm sorry, my sister. I'm sorry. It's ignorance. Now, if you give me any gift, I'll keep it. So, needs change. If you think your greatest need is having a house, when you build a house, you discover that you have another need. Your greatest need is having a car, you will still need petrol. Inshallah. Except you buy Tesla electric car. Amen. Needs change. But your disposition towards it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, what are the things that can show if I'm growing spiritually? Patience. My response in affliction. My response in necessities. When I don't have what I want, how do I act? When I don't have everything I have prayed for, how do I act? It must not impact negatively on my growth, on my devotion to God, on my service. There's a movie, one movie like that. People are looking for children. One movie. Everybody was looking for children. And there's a lady, because she didn't have a child, she left God. She stopped going to church. Abba. Hallelujah. Is it to say it now? Is it as we're all laughing now? When the rubber hits the road, you must go back and say, in necessities, what is my character? In necessities. Hallelujah. When I want something so bad and I don't get it, it shows if you are growing or not. It's not just about speaking in tongues. Anybody can speak in tongues when they have eaten. And you know that when you get home, there's still more in the fridge. Amen. You know, when you have stir fry in the fridge with salad, some of you are already listening. Ah, let's finish the service. With, and you just put everything. And you know that's what's waiting at home. Chicken day, turkey day. You even ask chicken or turkey. Ah, I went to spend on the day with some people. They were asking me chicken or turkey. I said, God. That's when I was younger. In my house, nobody asked you anything. If you like, don't eat the fish that they gave you. If you don't chop up, I don't have any good chop up. My mom will tell you that she doesn't beg any child with food. It's a lie. She begged eventually. So I went to the house. I got a first welcome with dog. I went back inside the car. He said, oh, he doesn't bite. That's what he told you. That's what the dog told you. He doesn't bite. He wants to come and play with you. Someone I don't know. Someone I don't know don't want to come and play with me. That's an enemy in disguise. I said, no. He left the dog outside. As he went out, he said, this one is parlor dog. See, if you have heaven dog, I don't want. Then they came to me, what do you want? Semo Amala. How can one house have everything at the same time? I was shocked. How can one house have Semo Amala? Gary said, oh, pounded. I took my opportunity. Pounded, yeah. I will not eat it till Christmas. In our house, it's Christmas. So I said, pounded, yeah. I said, okay. Ready in a bit. In a bit. And yeah, I'm going to go see. They're with egusi or draw. You people have all these things ready. I mean, 7 o'clock is when my mom asked us, Tilama Jelale. Am I casting now? Don't worry, she will never hear. Tilama Jelale, shaking say wakafi, kimbanyo fi dodo, yes. Abagbado. You didn't hear one abagbado before. Alright, so, you know, and when you now don't have that kind of life, or you have needs, if you are not living that kind of house, and you know, some people fast not because they want to grow spiritually. Amen. Like the inspiration behind the fast is not spiritual growth. In school, I had times like that. And people say, ah, wow, it's so spiritual. Even for me, tomorrow in the fast, they must stop now. Amen. But if you allow that, I could have just said, I'm not going to preach today. I'm hungry. Say God cannot say I'm hungry. No. I'll still carry my Bible. I'll still go to rooms to go and preach. I'll still go to all 36 then. I think they banned it now from praying. I'll still go there to go and pray. Your response when you have needs is a marker of growth. So in adventures of growth, we have mentioned some things here. Abi, in affliction, in necessities, says in distress, say distress, and I'll close on that one. In distress, we see a marker of growth. So that means as I grow spiritually and I walk in that journey, I'll begin to look at how do I respond when I have needs? How do I respond when there is affliction? How do I respond when people are opposing, when there's opposition? How do I respond in distress? Distress means when you are overwhelmingly tired. Let me say this one very well. There is no Christian. Am I saying Christian, pastor, bishop, or anyone you want to call, that is 100% every time enthusiastic. Amen? I have taught in this place before, and I am very stressed. I have taught when, not that I want to quit, I've never had that one in my head before. I have thought before, and all I needed was, I just want to sleep. I've had malaria before, and I had a teaching meeting. I've thought for 12 hours before, and I was sick. I think you guys remember that time, Shola? 12 hours. You will not know. Of course, after the teaching, my body will not say, well done, Uluayi Mawube. I go show you Shege. And he show me Shege. But you must not allow, whether it's mental tiredness,
emotional or anything, affect your service. Your response in distress is a marker of growth. I was telling someone some days ago, he's a pastor, a close person, and I said, what people have not known about prayer, and people who pray, they know this, is that it is not every time you will feel like you just came out of a prayer meeting. How many of you know that when you just finish retreat, or in the retreat, there's a way that you just want to pray? Go and check your notes in retreat, and check the times that you say you pray, and pray for 4 hours every day. Right? You see, it's like you're under one influence of one drug. You know, when people come from surgery, and they're under morphine, they can say anything. There was one that they just brought to E6 when I was still working in Lutz. He was just finished surgery and everything, and he was looking at me and said, I want to marry you. That's what that, I want to marry you. Such a man. I look at that, this lady doesn't know. This lady doesn't eat three. This lady doesn't know. Yeah, I want to marry you. Very beautiful girl. When everything was down and I went for my rounds, I said, what are you doing now? She was not giving attitude. I'm fine. So are you the one? I said, yeah. So how are you feeling? I'm okay, please. I just want to sleep. I said, and I laughed. My colleague that went in, I said, hello. On a lighter note, you said you wanted to marry him earlier. We brought the ring. They started laughing. That she has actually promised a lot of people with anything. Promise one nurse that you buy a car for her. So sometimes that's when you come out from a prayer meeting. When you're in a prayer meeting, don't take your retreat notes. I will preach. I will get 95 disciples every day. 95 every day. Now, one of the things you must know, so I was saying, I said, everybody who prays know this. They know this one. You don't feel like that every time. In fact, 80% of the time, you don't feel like that. But you must keep praying. Are there times that I don't feel like praying? Yes. Will I pray? Very well. But that's the time you pray more. Because it's a trouble that you don't feel like praying. Your response in distress is a marker of growth. If you are only serving God every time you are enthusiastic, every time they have to tell you something, they have to cheer you up, they have to say something, and they say, "Woo, glory! We cover the earth. That's the way you can serve God." Then there's a problem. You're not growing. Growth will be seen even in distress. Are you saying? Even in distress. You look at Paul and Barnabas, they just had a contention, a dissension. Everything, a division. Barnabas said, I will bring my cousin Mark. Paul says, no. Mark that left us last week. He left us on outreach. We are looking for him. He said he has a landlord meeting. They fought, but they continued preaching. You know, God just said, hey, all these men of God. They will call themselves pastors. You see people leave church, they will leave a church, and then they will not serve God again. They will leave a church. It is someone that offended you, not Jesus. Amen. And there is no church you go to that they will still not offend you. My own brother like that. He has left now, as expected. And when he first came, the first thing he was telling me is that, I love the way you teach. You are not like that, my pastor. I said, Sakwetilo. Because you cannot, if you speak to other, to me about others, you are going to tell others about me too. I already know that one. So I can't trust you. And now I got my pastor. In fact, the way he's not even a teacher at all. I'm now the teacher. You are the one that knows the teacher. A greater teacher you are. He's like, what happens is that they offended me in that church. You know, there's a way they act. With the way we react. I don't know, we offend you too. Say amen. Said amen. Let me tell you, your pastor, I am worse. Say you don't even know what he did. I don't want to know what he did. I will do more to you. Because me, I will not take nonsense. I don't know how to be parting you. Say, I don't even want parting. The first correction left. Hallelujah. I've told you before, if I cannot correct you in our local church, I will write a letter for you. There are churches around. Annexes. Kindly receive him. Cover greetings to you here.
kindly receive him as your own. Written with my own hands. Go. Come and cause wahala here. But if in distress, your service to God wavers, my brother, look at if you are growing spiritually. Say, I'm growing. Come on, say, I'm growing. Ah, see, the growing is not low. Say, ah, with pastors, with these three things that you have even mentioned. Year four. So look at the markers of growth, the adventures of spiritual growth. As you grow spiritually, how do I know that I am progressing in the faith? In much patience. You are not going to know everything about God's word in a year. Come on. See people, they want to start teaching next week. Someone came to the church 1 year, was it 2017 or 2018? I said, he wants to preach. That God told him he will preach next Sunday. I said, go and tell God back. Tell God back that if you preach here, I should die. I don't want to know which God told you. You are coming here for the first time. You want to preach next week Sunday. Who are you? Me, I will sit down and you will not be afraid. God told you. And the believers are like that. They just want it now. One said he was going to leave the church. That the ladder to being a pastor is long. We don't have ladder. It's staircase that we used to come here. Said the ladder to being a pastor that is too long. That he cannot, he doesn't think he can wait. Ladder. Impatience. A man of God is approved in patience. Hallelujah. You cannot know everything about God's word now. Some things will take you 4 years to know. Some things will take you 5 years to know. Some things will take you 10 years to know. Let me say that one very. Some things will take you 10. I think that's not a news again if you have been in the church for a while. Amen? You must have seen teachings. There must have been teaching that you thought, this is the height of everything. And then we come and we say, we still have 10, 15, 20 years. Hallelujah. Patience. Patience shows growth. If God can be patient, from Genesis, the Christ did not come till Mary and Joseph. Do you know how many years that is? It's not men with God. Maybe he gave the promise to the serpent in Genesis. Cain is the seed of you. No, in patience. And we see the fruit of that, of course. The wealth of knowledge that we now have in salvation. In patience, you will see growth. In afflictions. When it appears like everything is going against you, everyone is just going against you. When they call family meetings without you, say it's Jesus that has died at the beginning of, as though we have not served Jesus before. I took a major decision in my life some years ago. And when I was done, everybody was shouting. Everybody, in fact, some people even, they don't want to see me again in their lives. Who wants to see you too? Have I come to your house before? Oh man, I was saying, I don't want to see you, I disown you. I'm the one you see. It's about Jesus and you. You think I will choose you? Look at yourself. I told my dad, I said, if it is Jesus or you, I won't choose you. That's when he knew that. Sefini, let's just support this guy. Yeah. I said, or should I choose you? And I got a slap. Wow. So no wala. But today, he's one of the biggest supporters. Hallelujah. Afflictions will always come. It doesn't mean anything. I don't say go and tell someone, if it's Jesus or you are not Jesus. it came out of strong conviction in my heart. I knew that was the end of the road. I said, if it is Jesus or you, you have to know it today that I will not choose you. Or should I choose you? Say it now. Let God hear, heaven and earth will witness this day that he said I should choose you. And if God forgets on judgment day, I will call it back. If they say they've judged you finished, I say, my Lord, may I? One more thing that happened on the face of the earth that I think you forgot. I know God doesn't forget, but you know, 1,000 years like a day, you might skip your heart. This man said, you choose him, send him away. Just something. You know, but in much afflictions, I wanted to go the doctrinal route to this, but I said, let me bring it home. Let me bring it a bit practical. In much afflictions. Then in what again? Eh? In necessities, in needs. Play for my clothes. In needs. When things that you want are not coming to you. How many of you have necessities? You have needs. Let me see your hands. God is looking at you now. Should we write them down? Don't write it down. Tell it to God. In much needs, your disposition to God in much need must not change. I know that thing is heavy on your heart. I know you want it so bad. But in much needs, we are approved as the ministers of God. Are you listening to me? And in much distress, we'll look at that much more next week. When it appears that everything is overwhelming, when it appears that everything is tiring, it means that it's not every time you feel like preaching, but you must preach nevertheless. It's not every time you feel like praying. Take that out of your heart. Don't think that it's every time you feel that goosebumps and you know, that nights like that, just say, don't say that. For example, just go out. Ah, Jesus. And that night. That night that God wakes you up and says, go and pray. Heaven and earth knows I'm tired. I don't even feel like it. I still have assignments I've not done. I still want to know how I will go to class. And in much distress, we must keep at it. Is that clear? In much distress, we see the marker of growth. And I pray to God that we are growing spiritually. And that everything that you have us to, that we will do, that our eyes are open. And our hands are wide, open wide for Him to use us. And that the revelation of His word, how that we are alive in Him, that it becomes clearer to us every day. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for yourself. No, on your seat. Look at those markers again. Pray for yourself. Necessities, afflictions, distress will not affect my service, will not affect my commitment. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. In this adventure of growth, growth in you and growth by your word, I'm committed. Regardless of the distress, regardless of the anxiety, regardless of the need, that no matter the circumstance, help me to serve you. No matter the circumstance, Lord, help me not to turn away from you. It's a new year. Coming with a lot of experiences, coming with a lot of events. Different events at different times, but help me to stay with you, Lord. Help me to stay with you, Lord. That no matter what comes my way, your hope will be the anchor for my soul. Help me, Jesus. Can we stand up and pray for ourselves? Just pray for yourself. I believe that you know what to pray about. That need will not affect my service. Persecution, opposition, will not affect distress. All those things will make me stronger. This is how you want to pray. Pray. I'm sure you're praying for yourself. When God's word comes to you, it's because it will happen to you. Keep me strong, Lord. Strong to serve you. Keep me strong, Lord. Help me, Lord, to remain focused on you. Isaiah 6:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you.
that none of these factors will derail me. None of these factors will impact negatively on my walk with you this year. That this one life, help me to serve you. Even in rather overwhelming situations, even in situations I seem not to understand, that I don't even have a grip of what's going on, help me to still serve you. Help me to still hold on to you, Lord. No matter the circumstance.
Help me, Lord.
Help me to grow this year. To grow into who you are making me to be. In this journey of faith. In this journey of complete trust and reckless abandon. Help me to trust you more. Help my trust to grow. And my faith to blossom. Help me, Jesus.
Amen. All right, show your neighbor in 3 minutes what you learned. Why standing like that?